We continue our celebration this fine, beautiful day on page 355 in your Book of Common Prayer. Page 355 in the Burgundy Book. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Blessed be God's kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Let us pray. Grant us, O Lord, not to be anxious about earthly things, but to love things heavenly. And even now, while we are placed among things that are passing away, to hold fast to those that shall endure. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated as we hear God's sacred word.
A reading from the book of Jonah. When God saw what the people of Nineveh did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them. He did not do it. But this was very displeasing to Jonah, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, "O Lord, is not this what I said while I was still in my own country? That is why I fled to Tarshish at the beginning, for I knew that you were a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and ready to relent from punishing. And now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." And the Lord said, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Then Jonah went out of the city and sat down east of the city. He made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade, waiting to see what would become of the city. The Lord God appointed a bush and made it come up over Jonah to give him shade over his head, to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was very happy about the bush. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the bush so that it withered. When the sun rose, God prepared a sultry east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint, and he asked that he might die. He said, "It is better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the bush?" And he said, "Yes, angry enough to die." Then the Lord said, "You are concerned about the bush for which you did not labor and which you did not grow. It came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should I not be concerned about Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also many animals?" The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm this morning is taken from Psalm 145. We will read it responsively by half verse. "I will exalt you, O God, my King,
and bless your name forever and ever.
Every day will I bless you
and praise your name forever and ever.
Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised.
There is no end to his greatness.
One generation shall praise your works to another. I will ponder the glorious splendor of your majesty
and all your marvelous works.
They shall speak of the might of your wondrous acts
and will tell your greatness.
They shall publish the remembrance of your great goodness.
They shall sing your righteous deeds.
The Lord is gracious and full of compassion,
slow to anger and of great kindness."
A reading from Paul's letter to the Philippians. "To me, living is Christ and dying is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which I prefer. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary for you. Since I am convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress and joy in faith, so that I may share abundantly in your boasting of Christ Jesus when I come to you again. Only live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent and hear about you, I will know that you are standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind in the faith of the gospel, and they're in no way intimidated by your opponents. For them, this is evidence of their destruction, but of your salvation. And this is God's doing, for he has graciously granted you the privilege not only of believing in Christ, but of suffering for him as well. Since you are having the same struggle that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. When he went out again about noon and at about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, 'Why are you standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, 'Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first.' When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
May what I am about to say be in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. The last several weeks, I've been perpetually thinking about the tragedies that have been happening throughout our world, especially with these recent ones in Mexico City. But more importantly, one of the things that has been more on my mind is the fact that we sometimes get preoccupied with these disasters, or even my own ailments that I have in my own personal life, that I sometimes feel that we get preoccupied by these things, and they draw us away from the wonders and the miraculous things that God is doing right before us. For you see, the temptation is, from day in to day out, sometimes in most of our lives, we can find ourselves focusing on the things that are negative and the things that are fearful and dark, as opposed to the things that give us life. Growing up as a young person, I had the opportunity to go to an international youth conference. And it was at that time that I realized in my own personal journey that as a young person, I can make a difference. Now, at that time, I really wasn't thinking about the priesthood. I wasn't thinking about any kind of ministry, but I knew I could maybe do something to make the world a better place. When we listen to our scriptures today from the book of Jonah, it gives me the reminder that am I a half glass kind of full person or half glass pretty empty person? Jonah is that type of person that we have in our scriptures today, that he kind of looks at life, well, what is it that's in it for me? What is it going to give me to be of value, but also is God actually even listening to me? As a person of faith, I try to listen with a heart that is mindful of what is in my life and what is going on. In the recent days, and from just recently, I was interviewed by the newspaper asking me about this supposable prophecy that has been running around on social media and people who have been actually contemplating this, especially the people of Mexico City. The best thing I can say is for us is that Jonah reminds us of exactly what we should be about. And I do this, and I say this in tongue-in-cheek, because I don't think Jonah really is what we're supposed to be about. I sometimes think when we listen to Jonah's story this morning about Nineveh, he is looking at the world as a half-empty place. And it's something that, what am I supposed to be participating in? Am I going to continue to fuel the things that are negative in the world? Negative in my own job? My own experience? Do I have the option to look at what God has blessed me with today? Not about 5 years from now. Not even at the end of this week, coming week. Am I looking at what is going on in my life today, in these 24 hours? Because, my friends, like Jonah, things are going to be given to us, and they're going to be taken away. And it can be done in an instant, like a hurricane, or an earthquake, or even a thunderstorm or a tornado. It can even that with a diagnosis of cancer. These things will always be with us. This is nothing new. And so when we listen to people prophesying about the end of the time, and we find ourselves looking at all these things that are swirling around us in our world, it is easy to go to the negative and to look at the disastrous things that are going on in our world and in my life as if it is, I am ready to die, like Jonah. But I would say with you and a heavy heart, don't listen. For the reason that Jesus Christ came into the world, and in this gospel that we listen to today, he was reminding us that God is always there with us in even the darkest times. Even when I don't get that paycheck that I was expecting, or that bonus that I was expecting from my boss. Even when I work really, really hard, I may not be noticed. These are the times when we can put ourselves into the point where we say, did I not do enough for God? Am I not a good person? Have I not done more charitable works of mercy and care? These are the things that we can times slip into as human beings. These are the things that we must also pay attention to. For you see, it is important for us to look at the times and things that are going on around us, and what is it that I can do to participate as a person in making it easier for another person. For when we see ourselves as Christians as it in for what is it for me, it is really the wrong message. Jonah is today in this book that we listen to, in this passage that he hears from us, is really a remarkable piece that we have it this week in our lectionary. But nobody's talking about that because nobody's talking about Yom Kippur. As Christians, we don't really think about that. But our Jewish brothers and sisters this week are celebrating Yom Kippur and are using this very same Old Testament reading as a part of their tradition. Once again, we come in the intersection of our Judeo-Christian roots that are giving to us that lifeblood of Yahweh's presence in our lives, that God is with us. And in that yes that Jonah gave to, yes, and I want to die because it's not going my way, we should look really at the miracle of just having that bush for a day. That's to be celebrated. As just as Paul talks to the people of Rome as he is sitting in prison, he's reminding them, talking to the people of Philippi as he sits in prison in Rome, he's reminding them to keep the faith, keep the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do not lose heart of how we should be conducting ourselves as people of God and people just as each other. Not to slip down the road of the negative and then go into a darkness of oblivion, but to be people who praise that God has never forgotten us. That's why we listen to that passage when we listen to the Gospel of Matthew today. We are listening to the fact that God is going to give to us and he can freely take things away. It's called life. It's not supernatural. It's not magic. There are always people in our lives that are going to be able to answer a question better than me. Let me elaborate about that. Because I can look into the sacred space right now and I can see from young people to middle age to more mature, and everybody has a different life experience in this space and even out these doors. We all have that life experience. But you know what? If I asked my children today, and I told them this at the 8 o'clock, that I'd probably get in trouble for this, but if I asked them that they're supposed to clean their rooms, and they go, oh, of course, Dad, I always know that. But if I go to their room's not clean. Or if you ask somebody to say, don't burn the food on the stove while you're watching TV, but yet they still do it, and the food burns. They'll still come and say, I know that. But with every gift of every age, all of us come with a different life experience that has more or less. Just like the workers in the vineyard field. God is not going to love us any less, no matter if I'm young or middle-aged or mature. This parable is about how we look at the generous things that God is presenting to us every day of our lives, my friends. But for us, the message is about being grateful. Not sadistic or condescending or acting like we're miserable and that the end is near. You could walk out this door and you can get into a wreck. Or as they say in Scripture, even a tower could fall on you. every one of us in this space are part of the miracle of God with us. And each and every one of us are a part of that. Today we are celebrating the ministry fair as a part of our stewardship campaign of how we are part of the greater good. In the parish hall, there are booths set up of different ministries, of over 20-some ministries that we have in this church. Many of them are in the parish hall right now to help you understand that we all have gifts and talents to share. That, my friends, I believe is what God is saying to us in the psalmist today about being grateful and celebrating God's presence in our lives. He says to us, give greatness to the Lord and greatly be praised. There no end to his greatness. That we should publish that all over the world. That God is good. He is awesome. He is an awesome God. Each and every one of us are a part of the greater stewardship of this church, and if you're a visitor of another faith community, or if you haven't found one, find one. We can either participate in life or just be a bystander. What I learned when I was a young boy at that youth conference, my friends, was that I didn't want to be a bystander. I have limitations, but I know God blessed me with gifts and talents of all different types. Some I can use, some not so much. As I've gotten older, I can find that I can't use the same talents that I used when I was young. But God is opening up doors and windows for me and new possibilities and how I can be a participant in our church life as in the Paducah community or the broader community, the world. Whatever it might be, I invite you today to praise God and give thanks for the blessings that we have at this very moment, this time. To see how the glass is full when it's halfway there instead of just half empty. And if you've lost someone in your life that's been very precious and a dear friend, let the person know how much you love them. But then come back and participate in the greater part of the world. Because there's a child out there who is struggling in reading and doesn't have a parent who could use somebody at school during the reading program to read to them. Or you can participate here at the church in our reading camp or in our children's ministry. If you're a parent, try to be involved with your kids' lives. We as Americans spend way too much time focusing on the hours we spend at work for that paycheck. And we don't even realize how quickly our children are growing and won't be with us for very long. Let us give thanks for the miracles that are around us. And if we feel that those miracles aren't happening around us, tell you what, just look outside this church and look at the garden that has fed a lot of hungry people this summer because of our youth who participated in the communal ecumenical garden program. There are miracles happening, my friends, and they're always with us. I invite you this week. Yes, there are tragedies happening all the time, and sometimes more than others. But don't let the people in our world tear you down. Let the message of hope resonate, as St. Paul reminds us today, that we are graciously granted the privilege not only of believing in Christ, of his sufferings for him as well, that we are leaving suffer the same struggle that you have saw that I had, that we may sow and hear that I still have. Each and every one of us, let us not be people of the destruction. Let us be people of hope and people who struggle for each other to give and to support the work that is being done for each other. Let us be participants in life, in our church, and not just bystanders. Amen. Let us stand and profess our faith in Jesus Christ with the Nicene Creed, found on page 358 in your Book of Common Prayer. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen.
We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead, Amen.
Turning to page 4 of your bulletin, let us offer prayers for all who labor in the vineyard of the Lord and for those in danger and need.
For this holy gathering and for the people of God in every place,
Lord have mercy.
For all peoples and their leaders, for justice, mercy, and peace in the world.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who work for daily wages and for their employers and managers.
Lord, have mercy.
For abundant fruits of the earth and for safety from violent storms.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and the suffering, the victims of war, prisoners and refugees, and the dying and dead.
Lord, have mercy.
For our families, companions, and all those we love.
Lord, have mercy.
For our specific petitions.
We pray for all leaders of federal, state, and local governments that their decisions will reflect your will and your love for every human being. We pray for the people of Mexico, Puerto Rico, and the Caribbean and their efforts to recover from their devastation, and for all who minister to the needs of those communities. We pray that you would send comfort to the homebound and hospitalized. We pray for those celebrating birthdays, for Andy Dismukes, Ann Fendley, Jeff Hines, Mark Meisenheimer, Mark Menendez, Claire Arendt, Anaya Spence, Ray Peria. We pray for those celebrating anniversaries, for Trish and Jeff Hines, Sherry and Chris and Richard Paxton.
And let us pray together a collect for guidance. Direct us, O Lord, in all our doings with your most gracious favor, and further us with your continual help. That in all our works begun, continued, and ended in you,
we may glorify your holy name, and finally, by your mercy, obtain everlasting life through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Gracious and merciful God, who honors the last as well as the first, hear the prayers we offer this day and welcome your people into your kingdom through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
And turning to page 360, let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory
of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all of your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. Please stand. The peace of the Lord be always with you. As we come back together, a few announcements this morning. It is so good. What a great energy in our great sacred space this morning. As I was mentioning, our stewardship program is continuing again with the ministerial fair this morning. Hope you came down. We've got lots of great information about the different ministries in our church. And if the Lord is still calling you to volunteer in some capacity in our church life, that would be marvelous as well. But there's all of our hospitality will be down there this morning and to celebrate. Even I went out and got donut holes, so that's exciting. My son just said, thank you. Next Sunday, a very special Sunday it is. Julie Yeager, who has been ministering to our acolytes for a little over two decades, and I could probably ask any of these acolytes who are here and some who are sitting out here, some of you who have gone before and with her helping, we're going to celebrate Julie and her gift of her ministry that she's given to us to volunteer in our church for many, many years. And so I hope you can come back next Sunday and join us in celebrating Julie's ministry as she steps down as being our acolyte directress for those many years. Then that week on the 4th, we're going to be, it's annual blessing of the animals. So if you've got a pet or maybe you have a lot of chickens or something, I don't know, a lizard or a snake, bring it on down. And on October 4th, we're going to have a potluck meal, not with the animals, but for all of us who are gathered. And we're going to bless the animals out here in the courtyard if the weather is nice, God willing. And if not, we'll be blessing them in the parish hall next, that following Wednesday on October 4th. So put that on your calendar, Blessing of the Animals, our annual event. I just wanted to give thanks for those who participated in our lock-in this past week, Friday and Saturday night. Carly is still recovering. I was here till 2:30 helping with it as well, and a lot of other parents were here. A couple of our young people, Holly and David, were there helping us out as well. Had a great time. Almost 30-some youths between three different congregations were here celebrating the gift of the miracle of their lives and learning a little bit about Jesus in the same way and having fun on a bouncy house. Now, believe it or not, if you go to the parish hall right after to see the ministerial fair, believe it, there was, that half of that hall was full of a bouncy house. It was awesome. The kids were having a great time. Nobody got hurt. Please, no, nobody got hurt. So I'll just let you know. This coming Thursday, we have a special lunch for Tabitha's table. If you'd like to join us, please see Peggy Henney. This is for anyone who is dealing with some form of a loss in your life of any kind. We're going to be doing a new book study. That right, Peggy? Is that right? Yep. So come and join us for that lunch. If you're interested in joining us, please let her know so that we have plenty of food prepared for that special time. Lastly, today is we're taking pictures for Life Touch, our picture directory. Another part of our stewardship that we can do is being hospitable. If you've ever been new in a place, for some of you, you've never left this congregation. This is all you've ever known. But if you've ever welcomed somebody into this congregation and they don't know you, a picture directory is a great way to be hospitable, to let people know who those are. And so being new in places myself, learning somebody's face, or if maybe you're on the more mature side and can't remember the person's name, but you can remember their face, that's a great way to go back and get a part of your recollection back. So if you haven't signed up for a picture to be taken, or if you just like to use one that you took on a vacation that you were really happy with, let Judy Mone know. She's in Fletcher Hall. They're all setting up right after this service. Pictures will be already starting to be taken for the next several days. And so if you have signed up, thank you on behalf of our congregation as a way to being thankful to others who may not know us. And now let us sing our children in. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. And that's Carly, and she's still upright after that lock-in. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Any other thing to be announced? Yes, Ron.
I just wanted to say a word of thanks for those who brought the food for today. Pam Hudson made a wonderful coffee cake, which is still there. A lot of it is still there. And Sally Proctor made some great pimento cheese sandwiches and another type coffee cake. And so I've sampled them. They're all good. And also the Ulicks brought the donuts and donut holes, which is great. We got a lot of those. So come on out and have some and see if there's something that you'd like to sign up for and get some information about it. And then next week, I'm still taking some names from anybody that would like to bring something for the reception for Julie. I have some, but we could use more. So thank you, and hope to see you all soon.
Freely have we been given. Freely let us give.
Oh,
I'd like to give thanks today for these altar flowers on behalf of Dr. Shirley Ann Menendez as a thank offering for her wonderful church. We continue our celebration on page 367 in your Book of Common Prayer, page 367. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give Him thanks and praise.
It is right, a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, for you are the source of light and life. You made us in your image and called us to new life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name.
Holy.
We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of a new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we remember his death. We proclaim his resurrection. We await his coming in glory. And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, O gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son and his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ and bring us to that heavenly country where with all your saints we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever. Amen. And as Christ our Savior has taught us, we are able to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Gifts of God for you, the people of God, take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on them in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. The body of Christ, the bread of heaven. The blood of Christ, the cup of our salvation. Wherever you are in your faith journey, all baptized Christians are welcome at this communion rail and at this altar. If you'd prefer not to receive the bread and the wine of our Lord Jesus Christ, please come and join us in prayer with the deacon and myself, crossing your arms over your chest. All are welcome. Of Christ, the bread of heaven, Jim. Let us offer our prayer after Holy Communion, found on page 366 in your Book of Common Prayer, page 366. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assuring us with these holy mysteries that we are living members of the body of your Son and heirs of your eternal kingdom. And now, Father, send us out to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Lord. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit be honor and glory now and forever. Amen. Before I give the benediction, somebody's keys were left in the back of church. So if you recognize any of these keys or you're missing your keys, come and see me when I get back there. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, bless you this day and your week, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.